Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Final hour of the first ever Grant and Danny on the day of a National League Championship Series game the Nats will be playing in. Welcome back, 106.7 The Fan. October baseball throughout the month has been presented by our friends at PVI Office Furniture. Fast, excellent, affordable business grows with PVI. You can visit their showroom in Frederick, Maryland, or online today at PVI.com. Jim Duquette was the general manager of the Orioles and the Mets. He is now a radio host nationally on MLB Network Radio. In fact, he and I will be anchoring the National Network pregame coverage from field level tonight at Busch Stadium, and he's somewhere a few miles away from me on his cell phone right now. Duke, thanks for hopping on and working a double duty with me. How are you?
What's going on, gentlemen? How are you?
Not too shabby, man. NLCS time. We sort of don't know what to do with our hands here. But this is a lot of fun here. The Cardinals organization's been here a million times. First time, obviously, for the Nationals. How do you kind of, just big picture here, Duke, sort of approach this if you're the Nationals? Is it, you know, same message, or acknowledge how big a moment it is?
Yeah, that's a good one, Danny. I think, you know, when you look at it, I think the Nationals, you have to just keep going the way you have, right? The one bit, you know, today's game is the most important one. Try to grab a game. You know, like they did in against the Dodgers, grab a game on the road, try to get the home field advantage coming back to Washington, at least up one, you know, tied one or something along those lines. And so, and I always like went trying to win that first game if at all possible. So, yeah, I think that, you know, with Dave, we all know the weaknesses of this club. The Cardinals, they have their own share of weaknesses as well. So, especially at the very back end of the bullpen with Carlos Martinez. So, yeah, I think with Davey, keep that same mantra. Try not to let the moment get too big and out of hand, and focus on winning game one.
Let's dig deeper into that, Duke. What are the strengths and the weaknesses of the Cardinals that need to be exposed?
Well, listen, I think, today's starting pitcher, Michaelis, is going to give you something similar to what you see out of Anibal Sanchez. Five innings. Is what he did in his only start in the DS, came out of the bullpen. I think that offensively they have really struggled outside of two hitters to the Cardinals. It's Goldschmidt and Ozuna. They have the majority of their hits and extra base hits. You know, they've had some production with Tommy Edman right behind them in the sixth or seventh spot, depending on the lineup. Top of the lineup has been brutal. You know, Fowler and Wong in particular have not gotten on base much, or really anyone else, you know, other than Ozuna and Goldschmidt and Edmund, you know, for the most part. So, you know, Yadi has not been the same guy offensively that we've seen over the past. So I think that's where you can exploit him. I think late in the game, you know, their bullpen in the middle relief has been really good. I think they only allowed one run outside of Carlos Martinez. Has had major issues back at the back end, coughed up a game late, coughed up a couple games. He allowed six runs in that series. So I think those are the areas that I would focus on. It's the rotation has been really their strength, but the Nationals can match up with them there.
Jim Duquette with us here on Grant and Danny. Jim, as you break this down, the Nationals didn't run at all in the Dodgers series. I think partly game situation, partly, you know, they're going up against some lefties, partly, you know, they're Walker Buehler's on not allowing any base runners for innings at a time.
Right.
Was there anything else as to why they didn't run? Do you expect them to run more in this series, them and the Cardinals, right at the top of the National League in terms of stolen bases?
Yeah, it's funny, Danny, because I expected them to run a little bit more. They did not. I remember asking Dave Martinez, I forget if it was wild card or before game. Must have been a wild card. He's like, you know, that's what we do. We like to run. We're going to try to do it. I think it's a little different. Yadi can still throw guys out, you know, behind the plate. And we saw him do it in early in game. I think it was in game one against the Braves. Acuna tried stealing. They threw him out. And that shut down the running game. And I think, you know, if you're going to run on the Cardinals, you got to do it on the pitcher, right? So if you do it on Michaelis early and you're safe, then I think you could see him run a little bit more. But that's going to be, I think, the key. You just can't be running, you know, all out like you see against some of these catchers in the league. You know, Molina still has one of the better arms in the game, one of the more accurate arms. So, you know, that part of the game, I think they'll have to be careful. But I do expect them to run a little bit more than we saw in the DS.
Jim Duquette with us on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. How do you think Dave Martinez adjusts in his managerial style coming out of the division series when he was riding his starters out of the bullpen? You can't do that in this round, so what gives, do you think?
Yeah, that's going to be the tricky part for me because, you know, when you look at it, you knew that only one of your starters was going to get two starts, right, and the rest were one, so you could ride them out as best you can. That's a lot more difficult to do. So, you know, the hard part is going to be, you know, how do you use, let's say, Corbin? You know, do you use Corbin differently? You know, getting through the first game to me and the first two games, you know, is important, right? So did they name Scherzer as the game two? I just assumed.
Yes, they did.
Just did, yeah.
Okay, good. So I didn't see that. So you know, with Scherzer, obviously that kind of goes with the same. And then you come back with I'm assuming Strauss and then Corbin. So Corbin becomes key in the first game. You can get multiple innings out of him today. And then if he's going to be available, let's say he doesn't pitch today, game two, it's more, maybe it's a hitter or two that you go to. So he's kind of the interesting guy for me, you know, because you can use him early. And then after that, man, you better be judicious in using Doolittle and Hudson. And then of course, you know, maybe now for me watching, you know, trying to rank the next guys, I would probably use Rainey, although we know he can scatter it a little bit. I would probably go Rainey first and then Rodney and the other guys. You know, Davey used it differently. He used Suero. You know, it's a really tough position to be in. You might have to give up a game, you know, in one of those early games, you know, to save the key bullpen pieces. You can't throw your starter 66% of the, you know, the innings, which is what they did in the DS.
Duke, the offense really got going. You know, it took a while, especially, you know, facing Bueller. Yeah. That's going to hurt you, but it was kind of bogged down. But Rendon and Soto, the big blows, obviously, and then Howie Kendrick doing what he did. Who's kind of your pick to click in this series against this Cardinals pitching? Is there somebody else that's got to help carry the water for those big guys in the middle?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's, you know, for me, it's at the top of either Turner or Eaton. I'll take Turner. You know, he had a couple hits there in the last game. Just because of kind of going back, Danny, to the all right, you know, can you see the stolen base being a weapon? If he can get – the key for me is you cannot pitch around both Rendon and Eaton. It's hard to do. They might pick one of them, depending on the circumstances. And my guess would be they'll pitch around Rendon. But you know, the only way you can really do that is if the guys ahead of them aren't getting on base. So if Turner can get on base, that puts a lot more pressure on the Cardinals pitching to pitch to one or both of Rendon and Soto. That's basically what you're trying to do. So, you know, to put a lot more focus maybe on Turner in particular is who I think is, you know, the other guy that has to, you know, deliver in the LCS for them.
One thing that's really surprised me studying up on the Cardinals the last couple of days now has been how great their starting pitching was in the division series against Atlanta. Flaherty, we know about, pitched twice, but Wainwright was unbelievable in his start.
Yeah.
And you mentioned Michaelis was fine in his outing, but they were basically 5-for-5. Are they that good as a rotation, or do they just have a really good series?
Well, they're pretty good. And here's the thing. They lined it up well because, you know, Michaelis is the guy that, you know, I mean, he pitched the 10th inning the other day. So, in essence, it's 3 days rest. But he only – I think he threw like 10 pitches. Something wasn't a lot. But you can't expect more out of him. You know, but I think Wainwright – they line up Wainwright at home the key has been him down the stretch. He's pitched so well at home. He's got an ERA and a twos. His outing there against the Braves at Busch Stadium the last time was fantastic. And so that's one of their keys, I think, going into it. And then being able to go to Flaherty for, you know, games 3 and 7. You know, if you can avoid that for the Nationals, I think you have a real good shot. I mean, you know, Flaherty made one mistake against the Braves, and he paid for it. Other than that, 7 innings, 3 runs. So, you know, he's legit. And then they're going to go with Dakota Hudson, who, by the way, is pretty darn good. He's a rookie. But he looks like he's going to go in game 4. I think he won 16. So, you know, they have the two young guys. Those are probably their best pitchers. If they have minded up, based off of, if they could have lined it up, it probably would have gone Flaherty at home and Wainwright, and then you could make a case for Hudson. But yeah, I think their starting rotation has been a huge strength. And then the middle bullpen, they got 3 lefties that they're going to throw at you, and they don't throw them just against left-handed hitters. At least with Miller, they won't. So Soto, you know, as the game moves on, you can expect a steady diet of left-handed pitchers. Not that he can't hit them, but you know, it's going to be how he hits the lefties late in the game. I think is going to be another key to watch.
Jim, great with us as always, man. Enjoy the series, man. I can't wait to get
started. All right,
started.
We'll see you. We'll see you back in D.C., Danny.
See you, buddy.
See you soon, Grant. Bye.
Yeah, absolutely, buddy. Take care. I got to buy a coat, and then I'll come see you. Football Friday, presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Charlestown. Every game, every bet for real sports fans. Let's rank the top 5 NFL games of Sunday next on G&D. Danny's at the D.C. Armory. I'm in St. Louis. You're locked in to 106.7 The Fan. Thank you, as always, for listening. With you until 2 today and every day in D.C. It's so weird when you're on the road, though, looking at the clock and being like doing a little math on your own. I'm going to get out of here, Danny. I'm going to get a little hot tea, maybe a coat,
okay.
Maybe a little lunch, and then I'm headed to the ballpark for Nats Cardinals Game 1 of the NLCS. What's your docket looking like today? Where are you going to watch the game from?
My Darnell docket looks like this. Going to race and pick up the kids out of some childcare, head back home, hang out for a little bit, drop those same kids off with their mom, head back to the Susu Studios at 1015 Half Street, do a little pregame with Heisty and Byron Kerr, and then race right back home and watch it from the comfort of my basement, my friend. I will be watching it in, I'd say, uncomfortable sweatiness. Right before first pitch, I'll get that queasy pit of my stomach thing. Right now, it feels good. I got that. It's awesome. They're here. NLCS. It's really neat. I think right when they go to the TV coverage and they cut to it and the Cardinals fans are cheering because they know they're about to be on television, I think then I'll get that queasy playoff feeling.
It is a house money NLCS series, and it is, as far as this deep into the playoffs, about as little a pressure game as there's going to be because you get 4 of these. So even if you're down 1-0, it's not the end of the world, theoretically. But I still predict a Trey Turner pop out to start the game, resulting in Danny Ruye throwing his hands up in the air and saying,
"Here we go again.
Good while it lasted.
Here we go again." Yeah, I know. I know. I know what I am. I know what I am.
By the way, you mentioned the word basement.
Yeah.
Welcome to the club. How great is it to be able to watch games in your basement?
It's phenomenal. It's what I've always wanted. As an adult, I just want to say, I'm going to the basement. Like, I just remove myself from whatever the situation, and someone has to come down and get me. Oh, it's the best. People shout down, "Dinner!" That's what I want. I've always wanted that. I've always wanted that situation.
Has anyone done that yet, where they shout down dinner?
They go, "Dinner!" And I go, "All right, I'll be right up," because I'm in the basement. You know what I mean? I love that.
Has that actually played out in your life yet?
Oh, yeah. Probably a dozen times.
Wow. So you just stay in the basement all the time now.
Living the dream.
Good for you.
Thank you, man.
Happy for you. All right, appreciate let's get to our top 5 NFL games of the weekend. We could have either talked Redskins-Dolphins here, or we could just talk about the NFL, and we chose door B over door A. Why don't you go with your 5th best game of the weekend?
Number 5 of the weekend, Seattle and Cleveland. A lot on the line here for the Cleveland Paulsons, but the Seattle group is still frisky. They're still involved. Everybody's kind of written them off, not written them off, but sort of overlooked them in the NFC West. Someone's going to have an extra loss in the NFC West this week, either San Francisco or the Rams. Seattle just once again humming along. They're pretty good. Russell Wilson is a magician, early MVP favorite. If you're scoring at home, a massive game also for Cleveland. They need to maybe harvest a nut or two before they get to the easy part of their schedule to accumulate enough wins to get a nice seed in the AFC if they are indeed going to the playoffs.
Lions-Packers, my number 5 game on Sunday. Detroit has looked really good since its second-half collapse against Arizona in Week 1. They're stout defensively, and I love the matchup of this Detroit defense against Aaron Rodgers this weekend in Green Bay. Specifically, though, I want to find out if the Lions are a contender for a wild-card spot, making the NFC North a team four deep with contenders and the best in football, or if they just had a couple of nice weeks against some bad teams. Meanwhile, the Packers, you know, I'm very high on them. I think they're one of the best teams in the league. They got a chance to prove it this weekend. My number four game is the game you just mentioned, so I won't spend a lot of time on it. Seahawks, Browns. Cleveland, as I've said all along, has to be 4-4 through eight games to get where they want to go, because I really do see at least five wins for them in the second half, maybe even 6-2 if they got on a roll and played really well. So this is one of those games where if you're playing in Seattle, yeah, you're losing to the Seahawks. It's a road game, a chance, though, for them at home in Cleveland to get a Seattle team that is not the same as it is in its own building. If they can win, I think it makes up for one of the games they shouldn't have lost on their schedule already this year.
So we just flipped and or flopped. I've got my number four game, Green Bay-Detroit, reasons you mentioned. Time for Detroit. Big boy pants, or are you fraudulent? Will you be written off here after this week? Green Bay, only one hiccup this year, lost a game they probably should have won against Philadelphia. If you're the truth, you beat Detroit here on Monday Night Football. If this new cram it up your cram hole LaFleur regime is for real, where they're emphasizing the running game and playing some good defense to go with the magician that is Aaron Rodgers, you win this football game. My number three game of the week, Kansas City Chiefs and the Houston Texans. Houston 3-2, a frisky 3-2. Dropped the game, quite frankly, they probably shouldn't have dropped as you start to progress through this season. When you look back at their loss to the Carolina Panthers, 16-10, a very fluky game for them where they just didn't play well offensively. Hung 53 on the board against Atlanta. You figure some high-powered offense in this game. Will Fuller off a career-high, 200 north of 200-yard touch and a couple touchdown game for Houston last week. Kansas City just doing Kansas City things, 4-1, on pace to be one of the top seeds in the AFC. But they're coming off an L, though, so it's important for them to kind of get right. It's going to be a fun game. He's a fun guy kind of watch weekend.
He's a fun guy. I've got the same game. I'll make it really short. Texans, Deshaun Watson, Chiefs, Pat Mahomes, two of the five most exciting quarterbacks in football on one field as two teams over 500 are playing. That's my number three game. Number two, Eagles, Vikings. One of these two teams after this weekend will look like a wild card type team. The other will look like they are headed for a really disappointing season. This is probably the most important game in terms of both teams needing a win badly in all of football this weekend, because the Eagles or the Vikings are going to be 3-3, and both were considered coming into the year favorites to make the playoffs. So either Kirk Cousins steps up and helps win a big game against Philly, or he's going to hear a lot of chirping in Minnesota and vice versa. If the Eagles are 3-3 with some of their injury issues, there's going to be a lot of talking about the decisions they made at quarterback this offseason with Nick Foles moving on. I wouldn't want to be in that losing locker room at 4:30 on Sunday.
No, sir. And hugely important game for both those teams. That's why it's my number one. My number two game, I'm betting, is your number one game. Your San Francisco 49ers. Kyle Shanahan's got them at 4-0. Defensively, they're playing really, really well, getting after the passer, and they are running the football like nobody's business through this stage. Jimmy Garoppolo hasn't had to do a ton, and frankly, he's just been okay as their quarterback. Rams, all of a sudden, struggling a little bit, have given up way too many big plays, and that offense at times has sputtered a little bit. Jared Goff has looked pedestrian as teams have made some adjustments against these Rams. They need this one. San Francisco would like to prove that they're for real. That's why that's my number two game of the week. Number one, Minnesota-Philadelphia, every reason you mentioned. I actually think it's going to be great theater. I'm excited about this game. It's the run the dang ball, Mike Zimmer style, against the creativity of Doug Peterson and Philadelphia.
The number one game of the week for me is 49ers-Rams. Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan, the old Redskins Bowl. San Francisco wins, they might be in the driver's seat in the NFC West, which is incredible. I just don't quite buy them yet. I echo a lot of the sentiments you've said today and throughout the season on them, but they have not lost yet. And if they beat the Rams, I will finally decide to give them some credit and tell you that they are for real and I was wrong. Let's do this next on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. What is your prediction for the Nationals and the Cardinals tonight and in this series? What is your prediction for the Redskins and the Dolphins on Sunday? And what we want to know is, where are you watching? How are you watching tonight's game? Anybody got any big Friday night plans to watch the contest in D.C.? That's the question for you next on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. What are your plans for watching Game 1 of the Nats and the Cardinals in the NLCS tonight? What's your prediction for the game? We're taking your calls at 800-636-1067. That's 800-636-1067. Also getting ready for Redskins-Dolphins. Let's start with Skins-Dolphins and make a quick pick on that, Danny. I actually think Washington wins. I'll give you my score in a moment, but where are you at on this game? Do you feel confident that the Redskins will beat a Dolphins team that is just devoid of NFL talent?
I've got a mild confidence here, and again, I think they're so desperate to win this game just to prove themselves right on a number of fronts. But I also think they could come out listless and lethargic. And Miami's hung with teams in the first half, specifically Dallas, and you know screwed their way up to a giant loss in the second half. So I'm as confident in an 0-5 team as you can be, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I think that there's never going to be a time where the Redskins are looking for their first win of the season in October, and I'll feel this good that they're going to get it.
Right.
Just because the Dolphins are that terrible. It really is stunning to me, though, that they're only 3.5-point favorites.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that Vegas should have done something different. I guess my point is it's revealing as to how bad they are and how badly Vegas feels about them. The over-under total in this game, depending on where you're looking, is like 41.5 or 42.
Uh-huh.
And I'll actually take the over on that. I think the Redskins probably score somewhere around 24 or 27 points and win a 27-13, 27-17 type game, something along those lines. But I'll take the Redskins, and I think that they handle the -3.5 pretty easily. And we actually get to do a Victory Monday show. Now, if the Nats are up 2-0 and ready to play Game 3 at home in the League Championship Series.
Yeah.
I don't know how much Redskins we're talking after a Skins game, which will be the first time in show history. But
you're like, hey, the Redskins won. Okay, now the National Championship Series, et cetera, right?
Think about it. We've done one Victory Monday show since last November in almost a year. That's crazy.
That is pretty nuts. I mean, to your point about the line, it opened at 6.5. Immediately bet down to 3, 3.5. Like almost immediately is how that went. Over-under, as you said, is 42 in most of the books that I'm seeing. So It's not a game where you look like you're inspired by the Redskins' offense, and I think they believe that the Dolphins may be able to move the ball a little bit as the Redskins' defense has played pretty poorly. I'm actually going to pick the Dolphins in this one, believe it or not.
What?
I think they win in a fluky, awkward, terrible game where the Redskins come out flat once again. All the wind sprints and all the running drills and all the stupid stuff, changing the music and the stretching lines that Bill Callahan's trying to do.
You don't think the Dolphins are going to win.
I am picking the Dolphins 22-20.
But you don't actually think they're going to win. You're just kind of doing something funny.
I don't know how funny it is. I'm doing
Seems
it.
Seems hilarious.
I'm making a pick.
And Grant, Danny would also, as a 22-20, would still be picking Washington on the spread, I believe.
So the Redskins will cover.
They'll cover.
No, actually, it's the other way around. The Redskins are favored by 3.5.
Yeah,
the Redskins are favored by 3.5. So the Dolphins win outright, 22-20.
But hold on. You actually believe the Dolphins beat – like, are you picking them because you're saying, oh, something weird will happen and the Redskins will lose? Or do you really look at these two teams and say Miami will win this game?
A little of both. I think the Redskins are bad. I think the free fall is happening, and the Dolphins are not any good either. But I do think something fluky happens in this game that allows the Dolphins to win it.
Here's my – this can't go as a Grant's best bish of the week, but if we did individual player best bishes, this would be one. I'll go over a self-set 19.5 carries for Adrian Peterson. I think AP, to get the Bill Callahan experience started, runs the ball somewhere around 24 to 26 times. I believe he rushes for over 100 yards for the first time this season. And almost as confident as I am in that is the number of people who will come out of the woodwork to say, see, they should have run the ball more. And I'll say, let's revisit this in 2 or 3 weeks when they're playing against NFL teams and not Samford. But I do believe he rushes 20-plus times for over 100 yards this weekend. Is 19.5 even a good over-under? I don't know. What would you set it at?
I think it's probably there, given the past carries and game situations and the like. But I'm with you. I think it's a heavy over, and I don't know how effective it's going to be because I don't know if they can run against anybody. I know that Miami isn't any good, but you're going to see the rush attempts. And if they do win the game in the fashion you're talking about, you're right. I'm pretty annoyed at those calls. Let's see how that works against San Francisco, against Minnesota, and against Buffalo in the subsequent 3 weeks. Three defenses that get after you.
The other of the teams that play this weekend is the team that is going to be the one that everyone's paying attention to, and
Thank
the
goodness.
Team that we all care about because they are achieving. and they are successful. And they actually really do have a damn good culture, as opposed to just a team president saying that a team without one has a damn good culture, and that is the Nationals, which we'll get into in a second. But Adam is in Stafford. He wants to hop in on the Skins and the Dolphins and the betting lines. What's up, Adam? How are you?
Well, actually, no, this is completely opposite of the Skins. I'm a longtime listener. You guys have a great show. My schedule the last week and a half is flip-flop, so I've been working during the day, and I've not been able to listen to the show. But I could be ignorant or behind the eight ball. I was wondering what was going on with the scoring since you started in the NL wild card with picking a player each game. I wondered if that was still going on. If it was, who was in the lead? And if it's not going on, I apologize. I haven't listened to the radio because I've been at work during the day.
I apologize for working, sir. That's all good. You're a productive member of society. I know I didn't win that GP, even though I had Howie Kendrick going in the last game, and that four bags helped me. But I think someone had Anthony Rendon, and he had a homer, and he had a double, and I think I'd probably put whoever was up there over the top.
Yes, and I will update that when we get into the Nats start of next segment. So, Adam, make sure you're listening because I actually need to.
Sorry if I jumped the gun on it. Or you?
No, you're good. You're absolutely good.
I was just curious.
No,
yeah, but Howie Kendrick really helped, huh?
Yeah, he put everybody over the top. Appreciate the call, buddy. And we have a debate we have to have, and I'll bring Danny and Thom in to decide, do we continue forward with the scores for the postseason, or do we start anew, crown a winner, and begin with the league championship series? So we'll do that next when we make our Nats predictions here on G&D on 106.7 The Fan. What about within the division, Danny? Another game that fans will be paying close attention to is the Eagles and the Vikings. This is a -3 for Minnesota at home. They are expected to win this game. How do you feel on that one?
I'm leaning Minnesota there, but I can't get two things out of my head. One, how great Philadelphia's defense was this past week against the Jets, scoring a couple times. Carson Wentz wasn't asked to do very much and didn't have to. And B is how well they have run the football here. You look at what the Philadelphia Eagles did at Green Bay, a pretty good defense. They gashed them. Jordan Howard has been really good. Sanders has done everything but run the ball well, which is something you thought he had kind of on lockdown coming out of Penn State. But I like this Philadelphia team, but I'm leaning Minnesota with their newly found passing renaissance that we saw last week where Adam Thielen went off.
Yeah, and they actually threw the ball. They ran bootlegs and play action 100 times, and I think that's perfect for Cousins if they're going to continue to do that. You get that going with the running game off of it, not the other way around, as everyone thinks has to be done. I think you got a good thing going if you're Minnesota, so I'm going to go Vikings -3 as well. All right, let's paint the show red for the final segment next and make our Nats predictions. Also, we will get into our total bases, picks to click for the division series, and on to the LCS. Do we carry it over? Do we crown a winner and start anew? We will decide next on G&D, a Football Friday, presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Charlestown. Every game, every bet for real sports fans.
The Washington Nationals have won their first postseason series in franchise history in thrilling fashion. Louisville Slugger's been making bats since 1884, and BigTimeBats.com is releasing this Nationals postseason commemorative bat. The full-size bat has the reproduced artwork of famed sports artist Jolene Jesse. It's limited to 5,000 individually numbered bats and sells for $129.95 plus shipping and handling. The stunning all-white bat has the Nationals logo and the artwork of Jolene Jesse featuring the historic D.C. landscape with Old Glory standing tall behind the landscape. The bat also has key stats from the series against the Dodgers and the scores of the triumphant series. Go to BigTimeBats.com now to order or call 866-280-BATS. That's 866-280-BATS for the historic Nationals' first playoff series win. Trademarks and logos used with permission.
Chad Dukes versus the world coming up at 2 o'clock. We're Grant and Danny. Final furlong here as we've reached the stretch run ahead of Game 1 of the NLCS, the Nats and the Cardinals here in St. Louis, where I am broadcasting. I can tell you, Danny, that while you can't actually see the sun, there is more sunlight than there has been at any point today. It's been dark enough that like you might need night vision to like walk around outside. Right now, yep. You can actually tell that the trees are slightly different colors and the color of buildings across the street. So it's gotten a little bit lighter outside.
It's good. Bodes well for getting the game in this evening, my friend.
It's going to be cold. It's going to be wet. The Red October on the Fan is presented by PVI Office Furniture. Fast, excellent, affordable business growing with PVI. Visit their showroom in Frederick, Maryland, or online at PVIPVI.com today. So here's where we're at on the Picks to Click Total Bases Challenge. For those of you new to the show or that haven't been following over the last week or so, we've decided before every single game that we would pick a national. You can't pick the same guy twice in a series. We have like a four-person fantasy draft with our producers, Tom and Brendan. And speaking of which, to Brendan Dar, we wish a hearty congratulations.
Here, here.
He and his wife had a beautiful baby girl last night. Jordan is her name. And what a great picture he sent us. I believe, was it 9 pounds? Am I saying that right?
That's right. That's Rudy style. That's how we usually do it.
That's a big baby, bro.
That's right.
Good for Brendan. Good for Leanne. Very, very excited for them.
So happy
the
G&D for them, man.
Family has grown. That's the good news for Brendan. The bad news is he has not picked to click very well. I'll say that. So here's where we're at, Danny.
Yep.
Division series is behind us. The updated standings. Thom is in front with 10 bases because Juan Soto had 5 to catch him up to the lead in game 5 after his home run and RBI base hit. You are in second with 8 after Howie Kendrick's grand slam moved you ahead of me. And I've got 7, only one total base from game 5 from Ryan Zimmerman, despite leading going in. Brendan Dar got another goose egg from Adam Eaton, so he's sitting at 2. So Thom has 10, you have 8, I have 7, and Dar has 2. Here's the question. Do we keep the standings as they are and push forward into the NLCS, reset the players so that you can use the players again this round? Or do we crown Thommy the division series champion and start anew?
I think we crown Thommy the champion of this round, right? Because otherwise we're almost out of baseball players for the series, especially if it goes
We would restart with new players.
The points would stay the same, and then everyone's back available for the second round.
Yeah, I'd still just say that Thommy is the champion and should get something for it. I don't know what we're going to give him, but he deserves something. He won this round. That's my instinct for it, unless you guys object to that, unless you want to go the opposite direction.
Tom, what's your vote?
As a DC sports fan, I have enough division champion T-shirts and hats that have never equated to anything. I only have one Stanley Cup champion hat. I'm soon going to have a Mystics championship hat very soon. But as a division champion, I'd like to let it ride. I'd like to continue with the points. Let's just go for the whole thing. We ride with the Nationals. I say we keep the points. We start new with a fresh slate of players, and we just keep going.
I will be the deciding vote then if it's 1-1, and I say we let it ride, Danny.
There you go. All right.
I think we keep pushing forward. 10 for Thom, 8 for you, 7 for me, and the bad news is Dar needs like a 2-homer game from someone to get back into this thing. But it is very important that we point out, so in the past you couldn't use the same guy. Now the slate is clean. So with our draft today, you could take anybody on the team you want to, and if this thing goes 7, it could get very tricky, obviously,
by the
end of the series.
Get a little dicey. You run out of guys. You're taking bench bats, hoping for a nice, clean single in the 8th inning.
All right, we'll go in reverse order of the standings. So here's the other thing: do we eliminate Dar? Just knock him out at this point because
he's probably
he has
be
two.
Difficult to reach as well with the newborn child on a wonky schedule here. So yeah,
all right, I'll get with Dar to see if he wants to give me a guy while he's at the hospital. If not, we'll be okay with that. I'll take the first pick tonight. And I will start with a guy I didn't get to use at all in the division series because he was used in every game, and that was Juan Soto. I will take Juan Soto for me to start the bidding here against Miles Michaelis. Danny, who you got?
Maybe one day I'll get to use Juan Soto. Never got a chance to use old number Juan either. So I will go out on a limb here. Tommy, this is a hipster pick. Anthony Rendon. Anthony Rendon is my slot. That's my selection.
Tommy?
Okay, so you guys both took both of the people that I wanted. I'm going to go with the hero just because, I'm looking at the draft board. I'm on the clock, and you guys just took both people in front of me. I'm going to go with Howie Kendrick.
Ooh, I love it. Okay, so we're going with basically the 3-4-5 heart of the order for the Nationals, and we'll see where Dar comes in to try to get back into the thick of things. So that means we've burned those guys after tonight. Neither of us can use the same guy that we drafted, and again, you get a point for every total base. I keep you up to date of what's going on during the games at Grant H. Paulson on Twitter. Danny, what is your prediction for Game 1 tonight against the Cardinals?
I actually like the Cardinals in this one just because, again, Anibal Sanchez and then what? When he pitched for the Nationals in the a division series. They had a plan. Of course, that blew up, didn't come to fruition. But I don't know what the plan is. I don't know if it's the soft part of this bullpen before you can hand it off to Doolittle and Hudson. So I like the Cardinals taking advantage of that, winning the game tonight. But for the series, GP, I got to say, I like the Nationals in seven.
I've got the Nationals winning tonight. I know that Anibal Sanchez doesn't give you the length that you'd like, but maybe he could get you through six, and I think you'd be in a good spot. I love the way he threw against the Dodgers. And frankly, I just don't fear Miles Michaelis. I think he could probably go out there and give you six innings, two runs, something like that. But I don't see the high upside seven innings, one run outing. I don't really trust the Cardinals bullpen all that much, and I think their ninth and eighth innings right now are question marks. So I think the Nats find a way to win, and I'm going to pick the Nationals in six games in this series, which is scary that we're both taking them. Because, again, yeah. It's a toss-up. It really is. But
yeah,
I feel
St.
good
Louis
about
is
them.
Good. St. Louis
yeah, they're
is good.
Very good.
You look at, but they're not as good as the Dodgers. And look what the Nationals just did there. And, you know, you obviously don't want to rest on your laurels, but this is an absolutely winnable series. And I think they're saying the same thing on St. Louis radio right now, to be honest with you. They look at the Nationals and they say, good,
oh, sure,
but, right? There are vulnerabilities. I think both teams have those things, and they're bullpen related. I think the Nationals, their advantages are just a little bit stronger than where the Cardinals' advantages are.
I actually think the Cardinals should be favorites in the series because of the Nationals' bullpen. And I think the bullpen will rear its head if given an opportunity to, as a big, big problem. My pick is based on, I think, Strasburg, Scherzer, Corbin all throw really well in this series, and you start tonight with a decent outing for Anibal Sanchez. Danny, I know you've had a fun day in D.C., so I'll kick it back to you from St. Louis, ladies and gentlemen. So long until Monday.
Yeah, we've had a great time today at the Army 10-Miler here at the D.C. Army. I want to give a special thanks to the Army 10-Miler for having us and a shout-out to their sponsors as we close out the show. The AUSA, KBR Government Solutions, AAMFAA, Boeing, Comcast, NBC Universal, General Dynamics, Guidehouse, Leonardo DRS, Navy Federal Credit Union, U.S. Army Special Operations, G&G Outfitters, and MarathonGuide.com and Marathon Photos. Thanks to all of them. Thanks again to the Army 10-Miler for having us. Appreciate all the folks on site, back in studio. G&D, our watch is done.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.